Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill and S2H. I'm Scott McNally. Our programming is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You could use our code ADVICES for some additional savings. High-quality supplements, everything's third-party tested. Guys, if you are watching this on YouTube, we have an audio podcast. This is all available at AdvicesRadio.com or search Advices Radio on your favorite podcast app. What's up, guys? For everybody who's watching live, we're going to try this again, and we're going to stick to bodybuilding. What's going on, fellas?
That's awesome.
Thank you, Scott.
That's fucking awesome. I was going to do the Rocky theme, but I guess he just won the podcast right there with his little song.
So, I get creative when I have time alone.
So what's up, Skip? You said you're training at a different time now. I don't know how you switch your schedule around, but like 1 week you're training at midnight. Next week you're training in the afternoon and stuff. So now you're an afternoon guy. You're actually, I texted you and you were awake during the day.
Yeah, it's not week to week, but I'll go a few months where I'm on my normal schedule, which is up all night. And then I think I'm going to have this like daytime schedule, and I do it for like maybe a week and a half, and then it goes right back to at night. But right now what I had to do is I was training in the middle of the night at a gym that I had access to, because I didn't want, you know, anybody to get caught. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want the owner of the gym to get in trouble. But then we have, you know, curfews and things and stay at home orders and stuff. So there'd be more traffic during the day, so I figured I got to change it. So it's easy for me to change to the day, because then all I do, I mean, I was sleeping basically noon to eight.
Noon to and eight. Then I okay. Would,
yeah.
It's middle of the day.
So then I just stayed up that day on Saturday, Friday or Saturday. It all runs together now, but I have to train early afternoon right now because I have access to another gym, and that's my schedule for now. We'll see how long. We'll see how long that. It also helps me too, because I have to get out in the sun, because you know my tanner is not open either.
No,
which makes sense. No, obviously that makes sense. I mean, I understand that. It's just another minor inconvenience. But I have so much sunshine that I actually get a better color from anyway out down here in South Florida. So now I'm able to go out in the afternoons up on the roof.
Yeah,
because you know all apartment complexes, there's no access to any of the amenities. I mean, you can't use the gyms.
Oh, yeah.
You can't use the pools, anything like that, the club rooms. But because I'm sleeping with the bitch who runs it.
You go to the roof.
I go to the roof.
Huh.
And no one's up there, so nobody will see me, and I can get a little bit of color.
Are you
nude?
Yeah, that's
no,
the next question.
No, because I took my daughter with me last time. And you never know. There could be like a maintenance guy up there or something like that.
Yeah.
Plus, there's high rises, you know, on the one side. So I'm a little shy.
Fuck them. They get a show. So I wanted to ask you about Ozark. We'll get to that. We should probably hit some bodybuilding stuff here first. But I do want to know all about that. And I want to know, too, about – did you – I will ask you this. Did you watch the cat show yet?
I did.
Okay. Well, then I'll ask you about that, too.
That'll be good.
All right. Yep. So over at the group, dude, we've got so much. Everybody's getting so inventive. I think the number one piece of equipment that I have seen, you know those the dip pull-up machine thing? It's just like a freestanding dip stand with the – that's. I've seen everybody's buying those right now. We should seriously buy stock in those things.
Well, I mean, people got to get creative. They got to be resourceful right now, because very few people have access to a gym. And if you do have access to a gym, you have to be very careful. So it can even be day to day if you do have access to a gym, because you ain't supposed to be there.
Right. All right. We got a question here from Shannon. Is there anyone out there, this is at the Advices group, that would pick MK677 over real growth hormone? She said, I'm not picking a fight. I'm just curious. So she was anticipating people to be like, you're fucking stupid. You know,
I think there are, I think people don't have a lot of money to spend.
Yeah.
You know, that want to, you know, can't financially pull the G off. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in a financial situation where you can't afford growth, then that's kind of like your next step.
What about Scott? What about like, the benefits? Would you say, you know, how would you compare it?
Wow.
You hear my cat at the door.
Testosterone, testosterone versus Osterin.
Oh.
Man, that's too far apart.
Okay.
What do you think? Skip, what do you think? I got to think about this one.
God, if I had to, yeah, it is kind of a tough one. First, I would never personally take MK over Growth ever, but that's just because I love Growth. The older you are, the better Growth works too. Yes. By the way. You don't have to take a shit ton of it. But yeah, I mean, MK, I mean, if I had to put, these are kind of just numbers that I'm reaching for to make my point, but you know, 25% of using Growth. I mean, it's just, it's not terribly, let's put it this way. It's not terribly significant, but it's better than nothing.
Okay.
So I think that's maybe a better way to put it. You also have to consider when you're taking MK that some of it is shit. Some of it is just flat out shit. And the only real way to know is to check your IGF levels and just see if there's a increase in what the difference is. And some people respond to it much better than others do. I mean, some will get a small bump, some will get a pretty substantial bump. But, you know, if you can afford Growth, always go Growth.
Yeah, I'd say it's compared to taking 100 milligrams of test a week or 400.
Okay.
Maybe that's a better analogy.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, too, the point of release, like who, how much you release, that's going to be an individual thing, right? Like with all peptides. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at most though, you're going to get what people, I've heard people say peptides are going to be like, you know, a 2IU dose at best, if you're lucky. So I guess part of it probably depends on what you're looking for out of it. I will say this, and I'm looking at somebody's, this is just, I couldn't pull anything up specific right now, but, I've heard of liver enzymes being elevated on MK677, and I don't think you're going to run into that with Growth.
Well, it's an oral.
Yeah, I think that's the only one of the reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've got a bunch of it, or a guy that looks like me does. I don't know. Maybe I should test it out.
What about now, Scott? I remember you saying a while back, because we've talked about this, you know, MK endlessly, and like it was a real hot topic, I'd say, a couple years back. You were saying like it was running Growth and MK together was kind of over the top, wasn't it? Like water retention wise for you?
Yeah, and I did it for a little bit, but I think that's definitely beating the horse to China.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, some Growth will make me watery. So it depends what kind it is. But
yeah,
since I have a prescription, Genotropins, I don't have a problem with that too much, but, there was, you know, and I never really, you know, that's one of those mysteries that no one really ever could figure out why.
Yeah.
But some, and I'm talking pharmaceutical growth hormones, some of it'll make you, you know, your hands real stiffer, your water retention, you know, just give you that more of that bloaty little feeling.
Yeah.
And other ones, and that's person to person, but I don't really know why that could be, you know. When you're talking, you know, let's say Humatropin, Genotropin, all your tropins, you know, Omnis, whatever, you know, all your, I'm talking your pharmaceutical brands.
Yeah.
What was the one? What's the one Merrick makes? I can't think of the name of it.
I don't know.
I'll think of it in a minute, but you know, some of them will just treat you different. I don't really know why.
What kind of dosing do they give you for a prescription?
One pen a month, 36 IUs.
Okay. So a little bit more than a unit a month then, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 200 milligrams of test sip a week.
What do you get from one, that? Like the, can, have you, the one unit a month, do you notice a difference?
Well, probably if I took it, I could tell you more, but on a regular basis, the popsicles are in the freezer. Yeah. I'd say it's, if I can stay consistent, which is a really big issue with me the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'd say I get leaner. I feel fuller, like more retention, like even when I stay, even the test helps too, more nitrogen retention. I'll get the more veins in my arms will pop out.
Yeah.
I'd say my knees feel better after a while if I stay consistent, which I'm reminding myself all this right now, I probably need to do that because my knees hurt.
Yeah.
Joint wise, I feel better. I already have really thick hair, so I don't need any more of that. But it gets kind of that kind of smooth feeling, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I should probably start back on that.
We got to.
I just bounced off my test and back on, but I'm having some problems with it.
What do you mean?
So, dude, I mean, this has never been a problem with me, but the last probably couple of years, but especially in the last one, because I've been really inconsistent. I mean, bad. So I'll give you an example. I farted around, stayed consistent for about a month, and I missed for a couple of weeks. And then I took, I don't take the whole 200 milligrams at one time. I just take about half of it Monday, Thursday,
yeah,
if I try to be consistent. So I was being inconsistent, so I took the whole CC 200. Man, the next probably 24 hours later, my nipples were like the most sensitive on earth. I mean, they were horrifically sensitive. And
that's because you bite them while your wife is banging you with a strap on. You're such a fucking liar.
Well, that probably happened too. But, you know, I'm prescribed 1 milligram of Rumidex a day. So 30 a month. But, I hate taking that stuff, too much, because it jacks with your profiles. But I had to jump on that quick. I had to take 1 milligram 3 days in a row to get my nipples to stop hurting.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, they were, like, super sore.
Tim Werbrook, Werbick added, would GHB be beneficial to your immune system? I just looked this up. I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but from what I understand, yes, it can be. I don't know if you guys had any info on that. It's not really bodybuilding related so much, so I don't know if you've researched it, but I know that I Googled it, and at least that's what it told me is yes.
Yeah, there's some benefits to your immune system with it. Anabolic anabolic steroids, not really. Anavar has some properties because it's used for burns.
Yeah,
that can help your immune system, but in general they're not. But yeah, it's supposed to, but I don't know how deeper research has been done on that.
Yeah, I know that. One thing I will add then. So there's, I just posted it too in the group. The benefits of vitamin D and vitamin A for your immune system. If you do catch the virus, these things are supposed to be really beneficial in conjunction, to help you avoid it. And if you do get it, that it stops the, the inflammation storm that can happen. So it could be a benefit there. There's something else I was going to say related to that. Oh, and steroids will lower your vitamin D. In fact, I don't know if I ever told you guys this. So you remember when I competed, like all of 2017, I was dieting. So after that, I thought my thyroid was messed up. Like I thought for sure my thyroid was messed up because I kept feeling so tired all the time. And I got my thyroid checked, turned out it was fine. I didn't discover it until like a year later. I mean, there were periods of time that I'd just be sitting there during the day and I would nod off. And it turned out it was my vitamin D. My vitamin D level was super low. I started up supplementing D and boom, it fixed it instantly. Mm-hmm.
I remember that. You talked about that.
Yeah.
One time.
It was a terrible feeling, man. It felt like you feel out of control of that. Like, there were times I was honestly, like, sitting on a podcast. I was like, don't fall asleep. And it's not like I was bored. I just, like, if I wasn't talking, if I wasn't physically doing something, I'd just, like, start shutting down. It was weird.
Yeah, it's one of those things, if you want to get a check, they charge you, like, $80 for that one addition to your panel.
Yeah.
Something. It's like, yeah. So people want to get it done.
All right. Cutting back to a cruise, TRT, only half sustained on 250, was thinking about pinning 125 milligrams Monday and Friday. Too much, too little. Been hearing lots of conflicting thoughts. This is from Jerry Wright. What do you think, Skip?
Well, it's never too much. I mean, can you really take too much testosterone? But from a TRT standpoint, 250 milligrams will have 95% of the male population, well over 1,200.
Yeah.
So, and I say well over, maybe not well over, but over 1,200. I was in the 210, 220 range to hit pretty much right at 1,200 for, 4 or 5 years. So, and everybody's different, but that was a little bit higher. Let's put it this way. Other people could take probably less than 210, 220 and get to 1,200. But for me, that's what was working for me. So 250 is going to push you over that threshold. to be what I consider to be technically, by definition, TRT dosing. TRT dosing, you need to be within the upper parameter of the normal testosterone range, which is 1,200.
Yeah.
1,200 or 1,100?
I think it's 1,200. I think it's 1,200. Depends on your age.
Yeah.
But yeah, 200 gets me around 11.
Okay. You
know, right around there.
Yeah.
When I take it.
Steady. Now, if you don't mind being a little bit over, you know, you're 13, 14, it, you know, that's up to you. But if you go to a TRT doctor, they're probably not going to let you run 250 milligrams because you're not going to be under that 1,200 right. threshold.
That's over FDA guidelines, too.
All right. Oh, I got a fun one here for Scott. Now, I know you guys can't see this, but I'm going to show all the viewers at home a video. And actually, I believe Dylan's watching right now. All right, guys. So for the audio listeners that can't see what's going on right now, we have listener Dylan Jaworkian. He is kicking some serious ass. It looks like in his basement here. He has two big buckets, like painter's buckets, that are suspended from either end of like a thick rod, it looks like a wooden thick bar, basically. And he's squatting the hell out of these things. Plus, he's got a bunch of videos of other exercises. So huge shout out to him for being so creative. Scott, you've had some experience training, like, basically to non-conventional gym,
yeah,
right?
Gyms. Yeah, I mean, we used to make all kinds of stuff. Like, sandbags work good if you got sandbags.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you can tie them off to stuff.
Huh.
But I will caution that you may need to make sure that they are the same distance or tied up evenly on each side. You get that the teeter-totter. Another thing, if you got 2x4s, you can create a lot of stuff with 2x4s, dip bars, benches, stuff like that. We used to use water jugs a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the thing with the thing that I can remember running into was, hey, what are we going to support? What's going to be the bar? And that's usually kind of challenging. But one of the things I used to do a lot of was take parachute cord and make, like, you know, stuff you could do dips on between them, you know, and it really works your core because you got to kind of balance to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Or use them to do pull-ups on or to do like those tricep hangs where you stand up and you have your hands on here, on anything, even a bar, and you go lean forward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here and extend back out. You can use kids are great if you got kids to sit on your back and stuff. But there's, I mean, I think if you just sit there and think about it, go, okay, what do I use at the gym? Okay, I use this, this, and this. Even machine-wise, you can take like 2x4s and improvise things or take household items, and you just got to be a little creative, you know. My wife's a trainer, so we got dumbbells and stuff all over the place, and over the years of stuff she's collected. So, you know, you can do... If you got a set of dumbbells and you don't have a bench,
yeah,
you can take a stability ball and do dumbbell chest presses, stuff like that on it. You know, you'll find you can like angle yourself at different angles if you roll the ball up and down your back different ways.
Yeah,
you can get like an incline, a flat, a decline. You just got to kind of be creative. I think a lot of people, if they sit there and they go, oh, I don't have my gym, screw it, I can't do anything. Then, you know, if you just sit there and go, hey, I can figure stuff out. Like, I can find stuff in this room right here to do workout stuff on.
Yeah, you just got to be creative, I guess.
Yeah, you got to be creative, and it's not always going to be the best. But be careful when you start hanging weights on the end of stuff, like makeshift bars, because nothing's worse than when you're getting all yoked and one of them snaps off. You get whacked in the head with the bar.
Well, I'm sure there's been a lot of accidents, and if there haven't been yet, there will be.
Yes.
With people, you know, trying to be resourceful, you do have to be careful because you can legitimately fuck yourself up doing stupid shit. So you got to be sensical about it. I think too. I mean, if you're handy with wood and you have 2x4s, you could build your own leg extension. You just need cables and sandbags. I'm just fucking around. That's a dumb shit. I was going to try to say that, you know, they make wooden roller coasters. Why can't you make a fucking wooden hammer strength incline press? I mean, what the fuck?
That would be some crazy shit. If somebody makes that, send it to us because I'm going to post it up on the next episode of Blood, Sweat,
Heavy Chains.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got heavy chains. Because you can take a heavy chain and roll it over and grab it in your hands and curl it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it might take a little bit of maneuvering to get the weight even, but heavy chains, you can get a lot of, you can do lunges with heavy chains around your neck.
Yeah.
You know, use your stairs, you know, that kind of stuff.
Resistance bands, obviously. You got a lot of versatility with resistance bands, too. And I think people kind of poo-poo the resistance bands, so I'm going to throw in my two cents. First, I gotta let everybody know that we're going to do our first intense set of the month for Intense Muscle, and I was going to wait. I was, like, waiting for everybody to get back to the gym. I'm like, wait a minute. It would be far cooler to see what people can come up with.
I like this idea.
Yeah, and so we're going to do the first intense set of the month in about a week. Yeah. I'll have it posted. And it is going to be strictly, even if you have your home gym or whatever, you know, it doesn't count. You can't use real weights and regular bars because that's, you know, I mean, the large majority of people don't have access to that right now anyway, so that just wouldn't be fair. This way, and you have to understand that the focus for the intense set of the month is not weight, and this kind of trickles over into advice for people training at home. Don't be so consumed. I've got a lot of clients who are consumed with, well, I just can't train as heavy, so I'm not going to train. Your body may be used to being trained a certain way, so if you don't necessarily have to train as heavy as you can. First, it's dangerous when you're trying to jimmy rig things and be resourceful and that sort of thing. What you need to really focus on is intensity. Yeah. And if you have to do that for 4 or 8, even 2 months, it's a change and it's a different stimulus than what your body is used to. So if you provide a new stimulus that your body has to adapt to and you hit it hard and it's intense, and look, it's difficult psychologically to get into things like this for some people because, you know, I know myself, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I train it normally at 6 different gyms. I've got state of the art equipment. I haven't done anything at home since I was a teenager.
That's the way I felt.
Yeah. And it is, but the alternative is to do nothing.
Yeah.
So you might as well create a stimulus and continue to progress. You're not going to see the progression in strength because you don't have anything to compare it to. You don't have baselines because you're using new exercises and things that you've thrown together at your house. But it definitely can still allow you to progress, especially if you're getting leaner. You can always go back to the gym within a couple weeks. You can pick that strength up. And I think people would be surprised, and they're going to be surprised when they're able to go back into the gym. And those who train their ass off, even at high reps, are going to go back in the gym and go, oh, my God. There's going to be posts everywhere. Oh, my God. Like, I didn't lose any strength. Or, oh, my God, my strength was up. Like, I had another, you know, 20 or 30 pounds on my bench. Well, holy crap, how'd you do that? And then that stimulus will be different because you haven't done it for a couple months.
Yeah.
So you'll grow from that as well. So the most important thing really is just to be first to be careful and not do flat out stupid shit. But the other thing is just train your ass off, even if it's ridiculously high rep. People think high reps, oh, 12, 15, do 50.
Whew, yeah.
I mean, you know, put one of your kids on your shoulders and start walking, lunging. I mean, if you get to the point where you're going to fall over, and people are surprised. They're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I was sore. I didn't think, yeah, you're sore because you're not used to that stimulus.
Sure, sure. Yeah, if you take a guy that's used to doing like 6, 8 reps, you can get up to 15. It's like another world, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah, 20, 30. And I'll tell you, I had to kind of learn that myself. I might have talked about it on one of the other shows on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, but you know, so as I mentioned to you guys earlier, I have my weight set from when I was a kid and it's fun. I mean, I'm having fun with it now, but initially that was my thought. I was like, oh man, what am I going to do with this? We're getting so creative with it. I am a little leery, you know, like we were talking about those dumbbells that you put together yourself. I don't want to put like, you know, 120 over my head or over my face. I mean, talk about a nightmare would be having a 25 pound plate fall on your face, but so I'm going a little bit lighter than I would like to, but if I, you know, what I did was I started my chest, for instance, I used bands first. I have 2 poles in my basement. So I set that up and I did like a fly. And then I ended up doing push-ups. And then I ended up figuring out, hey, I'll superset the flies and the push-ups together. Then I went to my incline press and I just did like sets of 20. And I'll tell you what, man, the next day, even for like 2 days, my chest was so sore. And I got such a good workout from it. It's, you know, I'm sold, man. Now, like I went from being like, yeah, I guess I'll get through this to I'm training chest tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Like this is going to be a good workout now. So I'm pumped for that.
I'll tell you one I forgot about we did. We took tires, like big truck tires.
Yeah.
They were old ones and punched a hole in them and then ran a rope through them. Huh. And then you'd have handles, make a handle with a rope, bend over. row the tires, back up a couple steps, row the tires, back up a couple steps, row the tires. You get a couple tires that weigh 80 or 100 pounds.
Yeah.
You'll get a good back work, because back was always one that, other than chins, it was kind of hard to really figure out what you were going to do with it.
Yeah.
And that was one some guy figured out and was doing that. And then the heavy chain rows, just drag them back up a couple steps, row them to you.
Yeah.
Hold that squeeze, set them down, back down, take the weight off them, back up a couple steps and keep going.
And if you can't do chins, because I've had a lot of clients say, well, I can't do a bunch of chins. It's too heavy. You can use a chair, jump up, and you don't need a chin bar. You can do it off a rafter. You can do it off your balcony if it's not 15 feet in the air, whatever, and jump up and do negatives. And do. I'd recommend not opening with it, but do it at the end after you've done rows and maybe you have dumbbells that are secure and you can do pullovers and finish with negatives only and hold them as long as you can.
Yeah.
And if you're not sore the next day, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can shrug the tires too. Shrug them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The shrugs was always one that was easy to figure out, because all you gotta do is pick something up in your hand.
There is,
but you get something light enough, you can side lateral it and all that.
Yeah.
It's kind of ghetto.
Some of the people I've been talking to or working with have been using just like a gallon jug for their laterals and their curls, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I saw, so we, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a pull down, and it had an attachment where you can. It'll also go to another pulley that's under the seat, so you could do like a seated row off the floor. But I didn't have that cable, so I went and I bought the cable and the clamps and stuff from the hardware store. And right next to the cable, they have pulleys right there for like, you know, $5. You can get a pulley that can handle a ton of weight. I mean, you'd have to makeshift something up, but I mean, right there, you could at least do a few things with even one pulley, just, you know, I don't know, connected to the rafter in your garage or in your basement or something.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to Lowe's and they sell rope by the feet.
Okay.
In the same section with the pulleys.
Yeah.
And so you can, it's cheap, you know, it's like 25 cents a foot or whatever. So you can get some pretty heavy rope, roll it off the thing, cut it off, you know, measure it, and you pay for it by the foot.
Yeah.
And you can, and just take a lighter to the end of the rope and burn it so it doesn't shred.
Okay.
And then you got a rope and you can do all kinds of stuff with rope.
Yeah. Battle ropes.
Have you guys mentioned the parks or anything? Because parks typically have monkey bars and things that you can do chins on. I've even seen
a lot of them are closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple closed. People too who have gone and just grabbed on, stood on the chain swings and wrapped their hands inside the chains and are doing chins from the chains.
Huh.
And I thought that was pretty good idea too. And it depends. Obviously, if the parks are closed, then that's one thing. Down here, things are supposed to be closed.
Yeah.
But everybody and their mother's out anyway, so I don't know how closed it is. I just wouldn't be around other people right now, or too close to other people, quite frankly. But
you know, speaking of,
we were at the beach one time. My wife was doing lunges in the sand, like the loose sand that your feet go way down in. She's like, you want to try this? I'm like, I did about four lunges. I'm like, that's not a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty brutal.
Speaking of parks, Skip, you and I talked to Scott Stevenson the other day. So S2H, Scott Stevenson is stranded right now. He was on this, like, he called it like the Jim Gypsy Tour or something like that. He's stranded in Illinois right now. His truck broke down. He was on this tour with his camper and stuff. So he's got the camper's like, it goes in the cab or in the bed of your truck. He's got one of those that's parked by itself while they're working on the truck. He said he should be out of there in a couple days. So fingers crossed, but he's been posting videos of like, he found like a piece of, cyclone fence in the back of the RV park that was laying on the ground, like a big 6 foot one. And he's taking it by the post, which is laying on the ground, and he's doing rows. And then he takes another one of those posts, and he's doing, like, freaking lunges and squat. Like, he's a guy. So if you're in the right RV park in Illinois right now, you can watch Scott Stevenson, big jack dude with a mohawk, training out back with a cyclone fence and other random stuff. He's doing that every day now.
There's a lot of old people in that park who are scared to death of that.
Man. Sheriff's been called like 40 times.
Yeah, exactly.
There's an alien out here.
Yeah.
The 911 dispatcher is finally just saying, look, he's cool. He's working out. Just leave the guy alone.
Yeah.
He's not from Mars.
Oh, hey, Shane.
I saw his trailer, his camper I don't know, somewhere on social media that I had. But I used to have one of a similar one.
Yeah.
Years ago, kind of like it. Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Oh, Shannon. Yes, we covered the. She said the. Did he miss the GH versus MK question? We covered it right at the beginning. We'll leave the live feed up here, or this will be out on podcast on Thursday. Kind of a follow up here. This was somebody else's question. Is there any chance resistance bands can keep my gains while the gym is closed? Either you guys are welcome to jump in to start this out.
Go ahead, Skip.
Well, I just gains. I mean, definition of gains is going to, let's put it this way. Will it keep your strength and will you progress from that? Hard telling, but what's the alternative? The alternative is you lose any gains you've got. Again, it comes back to intensity. We were talking about that just a few minutes ago. Use those bands, and depending upon, you know, how strong or how much resistance there is with those bands, if you've got enough resistance, the muscle doesn't know that you're using a resistance band versus a dumbbell versus a barbell.
Yeah.
It's just resistance. So time under tension, slow them down, take them slow, hold them at the top. Just kill yourself with them, figuratively speaking.
Yeah, it's about 4 years ago, I was working on a project, and I was in my home office for quite a long time, and that's all I used was resistance bands, primarily different tension strengths, and I wouldn't say I didn't get better with them a little bit. I mean, definitely didn't lose anything. I'd wrap the band around like a lazy boy. You get on the back side of it and start rowing it.
Okay.
Doing reverse flies and all. You just got to get creative.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Where was I going to go next here? I think I had something else. I had like three things on my mind that I was going to follow up with. Oh, Skip, plug your company that you write for. This would be a great time, right?
Elite FTS. Well, of course.
They have bands. I think they're out of some of them, but they may have.
They are. They've had a huge run on. They still have some,
yeah.
But the bigger packages. I mean, they sell some package deals where you get you get all the different resistance ones. I think John Meadows has a pack with Elite FTS of resistance bands. Yeah, and they're great. I mean, I've said this, quite a bit on social media, even on Intense Muscle. There you go. People typically, especially right now, they're not trying to invest as much money as they can in the highest quality resistance bands out there. And, obviously I work for Elite FTS. I have for 7 years. I think that they're an industry leader when it comes to equipment, resistance bands, training gear, everything. But they are the upper crust of the equipment and gear and resistance bands. So you're going to pay more for them. There may be cheaper resistance bands. Maybe they'll get you through the next 4 to 8 weeks. Yeah. No problem. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not putting a resistance band anywhere near my nuts or my asshole or my eye or anything else, just in case it's not very good and it fucking snaps on me or something. So, it just depends. If you want cheap, go cheap. If you want quality shit, then Elite FTS has a ton of quality shit, including resistance bands. And they still do have some, but you have to buy them basically single in packs. The packs are out now.
Oh, okay.
They may
That's
well
fine.
Stock in the next couple days
yeah.
or in a week. That I don't know. But they did have quite a run on them, which, makes sense. Good luck finding any dumbbells or weights at Dick's Sporting Goods or anything – any place like that right now. Very, very difficult to find equipment.
I two things I'll say. Number one, I bought the Mountain Dog pack of Elite FTS bands. I'm going to say maybe 2013. I still have the same set of bands. None of them have broken. I managed to lose one, and I had to buy another one to replace it. But outside of that, I mean, I'm solid. So, yeah, they're high quality. And after this the whole thing's over, you can take them to the gym and still do a bunch of stuff. Exactly. You know, I think one of my favorite leg movements now, and I've noticed a ton of people doing this, is a reverse band hack squat. Like it loads my knees too hard with a lot of weight at the bottom. But if I have the band on there, it's nice and smooth. So I like that. I was gonna say something.
They got them in stock. I just looked it up.
At Elite?
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
These are high quality bands. These are powerlifting bands. They're not gonna break on you.
Oh.
Mm-mm. You know.
Other thing.
Yeah, they got some really good ones.
I think the hardest part about buying bands, honestly, is knowing what the resistance is, because I have had people say, well, you know, I got these bands and they're just too they're too thick.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do anything with them. Yeah. So you do have to be careful in that sense. But I think in a lot of the descriptions, they'll say or give a good, you know, give you an idea of what the resistance actually is.
Yeah. They had band packs, too. You get all in one.
Yeah, that's what I would. Yeah, that was the thing I was scared of. So I was like, well, actually, VJ bought the Mountain Dog pack first. So after that, I knew. But that was my initial fear was, yeah, I'm going to get something I, you know, would be too strong. But they're all for bodybuilding purposes. We don't need the really thick bands. You know what I mean? Like powerlifters have got those bands that are like 3 inches wide and stuff. Like we won't have as many purposes for those. I did see and I was tempted. I know so many people right now that are like, man, I've been thinking about ordering some weights. You know, I've been thinking about investing in like a home gym and maybe I'll just start training from home. Like so many people. And I thought to myself like, nah, man, just hold out. And then I went to Craigslist and I found a set of dumbbells that go from 35 to 105 and the guy's selling them for 75 cents a pound. That's a good deal.
Well, I'll tell you. Wait 2 months. There's going to be a ton of shit for sale in a couple months.
Right.
You're going to be able to buy new ellipticals, treadmills, new equipment, because people are getting through now. But I think a lot of people are going to go, you know, I know I couldn't do it, but I'm older. I've been doing it a long time, and I'm very particular. That's why I train at 5 different gyms. It depends on what I'm training that day, what body part, and whether I'm training a heavy or if I'm not training heavy. There are some machines that I specifically go to a gym to use where it depends on what I'm training that day.
Well,
Scott, if you need dumbbells, let me know, because I know a guy's got a bunch of them that'll sell.
I just don't know how to get them here if I did.
Aren't you coming here anyway?
I might be. That hasn't been set up yet. I might go. I'll tell you guys. I'll talk to you guys about that later. I'll move on to the next question, though. Hey, Scott. I had a question regarding muscle maturity. This might be our last one, too, by the way. Is it a real thing or is it just a myth? I personally think it has more to do with how you train and if you genetically have that fibery or greeny look to your muscle. I can name countless 25-30-year-olds that have way more of a mature, dense look than guys that have been training for 25 plus years. Would love to hear your guys' opinions on muscle maturity. This is a good topic.
Mm-hmm. Run with it, Scott.
I'm going to say this. When you talk about muscle maturity, I think it's going to depend on how. So let's say a guy's been training consistently for 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's 48. So let's say he started at 18, he's 48. I think there's a point in that where you cross a line where your age maybe you're not able to retain as much muscle. Mm. So maybe the muscle maturity doesn't quite look the same. And I think it's also how you've taken care of yourself over those long time frames. If you've done the Scott program where you get fat as shit in the off season a lot of times and then get lean, I don't think that lends it to it to someone who has stayed fairly lean. I mean, I can think of guys from the gym that were, you know, in their 40s and 50s who were on the perpetual long-term 1 IU a day growth plan and had stayed lean for a long time and their muscle maturity looks pretty good. It's grainy. But, you know, if someone starts young, and they get to it. There's going to be an age when I think that you start to lose that too. It's harder to hold on to muscle. So I'd say the guys I've seen that probably have the best muscle maturity are probably in their early 40s to 50s. I mean, early 40s to mid 40s that have lifted consistently since a young age and haven't gotten fat a lot.
So. I've got a slightly different take on muscle maturity than most. And I know this will upset a few people because they don't look at it the same way, but I don't think muscle maturity has much to do with the actual muscle at all. I think it has more to do. I mean, obviously you got to be big. You got to have enough muscle to have detail. But I think it has to do with body fat levels and your skin over time.
Yeah.
And what I mean by skin over time is if you have, and I just use myself as an example, when I was 30, and you'll see this with younger people, they have a better quality skin tone. It's more elastic.
Yep.
And they don't have to be as lean to look pretty. The older you get, you lose, basically your skin gets thinner. You lose collagen in your skin.
Yeah.
And that you can't get that grainy look without having ridiculously thin skin and or incredibly low body fat levels. I don't think, here's an example. I don't think anybody would look at Victor Richards, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you look at it differently than I do, but I'm telling you how I look at it. I don't consider Victor Richards to have a grainy look. But he's never been, in my opinion, shredded.
True. Either. Yeah.
He just has thicker skin. And he looks pretty, so he can do that. What you're seeing now with the trend of how bodybuilding is going, they're not as shredded, they're not as dry, they're not as lean. And you don't see the muscle maturity that we're talking about when until you get into the Dexter Jacksons, who are lean, and they obviously have been training for a long time, but that's that skin thinning out over time by losing collagen. And I think that the skin is basically how you, it has more to do with muscle maturity than the actual muscle itself. Now, some people who will disagree with that will say, well, if you, the muscle will look different if you train really hard and heavy versus pumping. And I don't believe that. I think a muscle will grow whether it's just put, no matter how it grows, muscle will get bigger. The muscle doesn't look any, it's all about body fat levels and conditioning and to some degree age, because again, to emphasize the age component, and you know that people will lose, they lose that elasticity of the skin. It gets thin. They lose collagen because once you get to my age where you're 50, if you're not careful and you're a little bit flat when you get on stage, you'll have soft skin on your abs that is old guy skin. It's far more important for an older competitor to be leaner, or I'm sorry, either y'all need to, everybody needs to be lean, but to be full. Because if you go on stage and you're flat and you're older, you're almost certainly going to have loose skin. Now that's getting away from the muscle maturity, but it's still on the same, it still has to do with the skin.
The visual final appearance.
That's where the growth helps the old guys too.
Absolutely.
You know, you're sure. You're going against the grain with this. No pun in. I mean, you, I guess pun intended. If you want grain muscle,
right.
But you're going against the grain because I think that a lot of people would argue, or you know, their point would be like, no man, like it's the guy. I've heard it countless times. It's the guys that train hard, that lift heavy, that are intense, that have that nasty looking muscle. I've heard that. I can't think of who offhand, but I know like countless people. I know you've got to be aware though that you're countering that thought.
Oh, absolutely. But I would counter with this. The people who train their asses off also diet their asses off.
That's true.
You're not going to have somebody totally ripping up the gym. Dusty Hanshaw is a good example.
Yeah.
He's not going to rip up the gym and then half-ass his diet. He gets shredded.
That's true.
He gets fucking shredded because it's a psychological thing more than anything else.
Yeah.
It's the discipline of training carries over into the discipline of dieting or the other way around. You don't usually have one without the... You could have, I guess, a discipline of dieting without the discipline in the gym, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you have someone in the gym who is disciplined and willing to go to a level that other people aren't willing to go, they're almost certainly going to go to a level that other people aren't willing to go to when it comes to dieting as well.
Yeah, fair enough. We did have one more. I forgot about this question. Thank you, Shay. Reminded me. Vegan. This is versus regular protein. But let's say like vegan protein. And let's take a high quality protein like pea protein isolate from our sponsor True Nutrition versus whey protein isolate. What are your thoughts on these things, guys?
I've got plenty, but go ahead, Scott.
No, go ahead. You're going to be my opinion is going to be very bland, so go ahead and give yours.
I'm not a huge fan because what happens with pea protein and, you know, soy protein is the argument is they're complete proteins because they have all the essential aminos. The problem is the ratios. They're both low in methionine or methionine. And that ratio gets a little fucked up. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, at least pea protein is lower in leucine. And leucine is pretty fucking important based on, you know, studies within recent years. I wouldn't use it. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I don't think it's the best protein. If you don't have, if you're on a very limited budget or you're really stuck on the vegan approach, then okay, cool. But accept the fact, either way, if you're using that protein, it's still, in my opinion, even though it's not, I wouldn't consider it shitty or horrible or anything, but it's still, we're in a game where we want everything to be the best that it possibly can. In my opinion, that's not the best that it could possibly be. The amino acid profiles aren't as good as meat or dairy proteins, in my opinion.
Let me push you a step further. Why are we in a game where we want the best? Is it just because we want the best, or what's the reason?
Well, I think nobody wants to waste the time, the effort, and the money. Mm. We're so invested in those three things that, you know, I know myself, speaking for myself, I don't want to go at this 24/7. Never mind the years or anything else, because it could be 2 years, it could be 20 years. That doesn't really matter. Or even longer, but you don't want to go at something 100% that is so consuming, yeah, to be honest with you, and not have everything you do or as many things as you can do be as ideal as possible for your progress.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to say, like, my thought was that I've always said, you know, the same approach of like guys that are like, well, I don't want to get too big. You know,
right.
My thought is always like, well, don't worry. It takes a lot. And if you shoot for the stars, you know, how does the saying go? Like, shoot for the stars, you may reach the moon, or I don't know how, whatever it is. Like, you know, if you plan to go 10 feet, you know, it's like you may make it 5. So why cut yourself short in the start? Why to begin with? That said, like, I agree with you that if this person is vegan, you know, or something like that, then I guess you've made your decision, right?
Yeah.
Like a pea protein compared to, like, let's say beef is quite different too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why, you know, people tend to focus, most bodybuilders, most good trainers tend to focus on, you know, again, meat and dairy, you know, protein. Those amino acid profiles are superior. And I understand that, you know, if there are vegans out there who would, you know, if the vegan crew or the vegan Facebook group heard me say that, they'd have a million studies to say otherwise, but you're not going to find very many big vegans.
I'm sure somebody will point it out. You're like, you know, once we release this, there'll be a few guys out there. They'll be like, well, this guy's huge, sure, you know.
Yeah, just take more trend. It'll fix everything.
Yeah. But that's the nature of, you know, the industry and what we do, and maybe people as a whole. Everybody's got an opinion and everybody thinks they're an expert, and I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert. That's just my opinion based on the amount of time that I put in, which quite frankly has been 35 years. So it is what it is.
Right on. So Ozark and Tiger King. Don't give Ozark away, because so I'm in a situation. I watched season one. I believe I watched all of season two. Now Victoria's in my life. She hasn't seen any of it.
What are you guys talking about? I have no idea.
Oh, Netflix. It's Jason Bateman. And I'm not a big Jason Bateman fan. I've said that several times. But this is his series. He acts in it as well. And honestly, if it's, I would say it's probably the best. If it's not the best, it's up there with Breaking Bad. I consider it better than Justified. I'm a huge Raylan Givens fan. We're watching that again because my wife hasn't, she hadn't seen it from first to, she hadn't seen all six seasons. So
yeah,
we've watched the first five. It's a, Ozark is a very dark, well, let's put it this way. The core of the plot is Jason Bateman launders money for a Mexican drug cartel. How he got into it, I don't want to get into, but he also has a family and they think they're getting out, but they end up getting deeper and deep. And it's just so well written. Just not only the plot, but I'm huge. We were talking about this a little bit with John Meadows and he agreed too. I like writing that makes the characters layered and they evolve over time.
Yeah.
And an example of that is if someone starts out in the first season and they're kind of a villain or you hate them, if it comes around and it develops through seasons that they end up coming around, that their character or they become endearing to the fan. And it's to do that is just incredibly good writing, but it's an excellent series. They went almost 2 years between the second and third season. So this third season only came out on Friday and we finished it Saturday night.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's so great. And then now I have to wait on season four. And I'll just say this without giving, there will be a season four.
Okay.
I don't need to hear from them. Just the way season three ended.
Yeah.
It's, and I like shows that are not predictable. We've all seen shows where you go, oh, I fucking knew that was, or this is going to happen. And if it's predictable, then that's lame. And it is so unpredictable. Huh. And it's, to watch the family evolve and the members of the family, it's really, really good.
I think you'd like it, Scott. It's an interesting show.
I'd be surprised if you didn't.
I don't have Netflix, though. Maybe Amazon Prime Videos has it.
I'm not sure.
They don't. It's strictly Netflix. Amazon Prime is still good. Justified is on. I don't like having to pay to watch shows. That bothers me. Now, I mean, obviously I pay for my Netflix membership, but you know, when I have to pay for Justified at $25 a season and then it gets to the last couple seasons, it jumps to 30 or 35.
Ooh, does it do that really?
Yeah, it's kind of tacky. It's like, well, we've gotten you through the first four. We bet you're going to watch the last five.
Yeah.
You know, the last two season five. But I think you'd like it.
There's another show, Scott, I would suggest you checking out called Tiger King, but I don't think you need to because we have Skip here with us.
The guy with the tigers.
Yeah,
guy's nuts, his man. Train wreck of a life. Yeah, it's kind of a bizarre. I watched it because of all the hype. I'm like, I'm going to watch this first episode.
You love cats.
Yeah, this is different, though. And you know, I've been getting a lot of messages saying, oh, you'd love it because of the cats. Look, tigers and lions and stuff, I'm a cat guy, not a fucking 600-pound tiger guy.
Those are cats. Yeah.
And tigers and bears, oh my.
I like cats that will not fucking eat you. And I've never been of the belief that, oh, tigers, they're primal. They're wild.
Yeah.
And they can rip you apart. And they do. I mean, they do. They attack this motherfucker and his workers. I mean, one worker is missing an arm.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but it's not about as much the cats as his eccentric life and the people around him. It's one fucked up. Here's what it is. In and of itself, it's not a great show, but you watch, I'm like, okay, I'll watch one more.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, I'll watch one more. Cause you just want to see how fucked up it's gonna get.
You want to see how bad the train wrecks
it is. It's a fucking giant massive train. There's swinging, there's this drama between Joe Exotic is his name, which is awesome. And he's got a fucking mullet and everything else, and he goes on these rampage rants. They followed him for like fucking 15 years or something with cameras, but anyway, he goes on these rants about the woman who owns Big Cat Rescue, and they've got this long drama. The woman for Big Cat Rescue, her husband's been missing for what, 10 years?
Yeah, yeah.
And it shows all that she's never been charged, and there's all this evidence that she killed him. Like, he was telling his friends, if something happens to me, she fucking killed me. And he disappears and she hasn't been charged. And everything that is asked of her, she always answers real.
She's weird.
Like, very, and then at the end, she'll always do this condescending laugh. Like, oh, things don't bother her. When it's so, yeah. Every fucking time she speaks. So there's that train wreck. There's just a lot of shit in there that, and I've only watched four episodes.
Oh, my God.
And I know there's more. Yeah. I know there's so much more that I don't even know if I should be watching.
Well, there was a bunch of memes popping up about this dude. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? So I went on, Googled it, then I went on YouTube and watched like 5 minutes of it. And I was like, that's not probably my kind of thing.
We're going to retitle the podcast Ken Exotic.
Exactly. I like that.
With your cat.
I think what it'll turn into, in my opinion, is kind of like Shameless with animals. What's going to happen is Shameless was good for a couple, like few seasons to me, my opinion. And then it just became so redundant and predictable and they had to try to outdo their train wrecks, but they couldn't. So it became redundant.
But this is, it has a beginning and it is just a documentary thing. It's just like a limited thing. So there's just this season. I won't say what happens, but it does get more. If you only watch like four episodes, gets more intense. Like there's some stuff that I didn't expect to happen in there. I'll leave it at that.
Well, now, damn it, Scott! Look what you did.
Well, you weren't gonna have anything else to do anyway.
So. That is true.
You got nothing else to do.
There's only one season.
Yeah, it's not like an ongoing thing. There's some stuff I don't want to say because now that I know you only watched four episodes, I don't want to say any more. I wouldn't want to spoil it for anybody. But I have some questions. But by asking those questions, I would probably divulge some information that you might not have yet. So I will shut my mouth on that one.
Yeah, you can tell me because I won't watch it.
Well, you want to know, so you might go watch it.
Negative.
I think more people watch it than admit that they watch it.
Hey,
let's put it that way.
I'll tell you what. I watched a couple episodes, I was ready to like take a break. But Victoria Felkar, the smartest woman I know, made us watch all of them. So...
it just kind of pulls you in, and the curiosity of what's going to happen next makes you watch another one, and then it's like, okay, I'll watch one more. I'll watch one more.
We burned through it. All right, guys, well, that's it. That's all we got for the day. I appreciate you guys convening with me. Any parting thoughts?
Skip, you look bigger today.
I am. Yeah, I'm only about 215, so I'm technically not bigger.
I'm catching up to you then.
Yeah, well, that's why I was going to ask you earlier what you weighed, but then I didn't want you to weigh more than me, so that sucks.
I'm about there. I was closing in on 220 before the Arnold, and then I got sick, and then I dropped weight a lot. Like, I don't know, I was like 206, and I was working my way back up, and I haven't checked the scale now for like about a week or so, We'll see. But as you come down, if I stay the same, then I will be bigger. So I don't have to try.
Right, exactly.
I just have to keep eating what I'm eating now and do nothing. And I shall win.
Have they already canceled the Olympia?
Not yet.
No, nothing is canceled past the middle of May. The cancellations aren't going to be made the way I understand it. The cancellations aren't going to be made by the NPC or IFBB. They're only canceling shows if the state that they're being held in has state restrictions based on the state government saying, you know, you can't have a gathering of more than X amount of people, things like that. Much like the Arnold. The Arnold promoters didn't cancel that show or the expo. They were limited by what they could do by the governor of Ohio.
So that's pretty much every state right now.
I think so. The NPC and the IFBB, I'm not going to slam them, but I just think it's disingenuous for them to say that it's all about the competitors when the reality is the promoters would lose so much money that they're going to go if they can go. And look, you know, I'm in the industry too. Part of me wants to say that's awesome, and the other part is kind of like, God damn, you guys are greedy. But
like any business, right? I mean, you can't operate without, you know, without operating. So I mean, the sooner everything can get back online, I'm sure, you know, the better for all of us, right?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit concerned, even if they don't cancel shows, what quality of the, you know, how deep the fields are going to be, what the quality is going to be. Scott and I were talking about this earlier. And, you know, I voiced my concern in the sense that, you know, people who go and are ready, it may be a smaller percentage of people who are actually ready versus people who were committed but had very limited resources, whether it be groceries or, you know, the stress from things that are going on right now, you know, their income, whether they have a job. I think this is all going to play into this season quite a bit. It's going to be interesting to see it play out.
All right, guys. Well, in that case, though, let's get out of here for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Skip Hill, check out teamskip.com. Of course, check out our sponsor, truenutrition.com. S2H, go visit S2H at the gun range.
Somewhere.
Somewhere.
You can find me somewhere.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon.
Later.